Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
9:02 in the a.m. on this Tuesday, Corey Curtis sitting in for Braden Gall, but Derek Mason is always here because I don't think he missed a single game in his NFL career. He is a 16-game guy. Did you miss a single game?
I missed two games in my career, and those two games were here in Nashville.
Because you guys had the first-round bye sewed up, and they just said take the day off?
No, I messed up my shoulder in the Oakland game on that horrible grass, turf, whatever it was.
That feels
and I
terrible,
ended up
missing
man. Two games.
That feels terrible. I thought I was going to get through my whole career without going to Oakland. I went there this year, and I was like, this place is terrible. All right, the Nashville Predators have fired their head coach, Peter Laviolette, and they are moving on. We should find out what's next coming up at 11:45 when David Poile meets with the media. Right now, we are going to talk with Greg Wyshynski, who joins us from ESPN.com. Greg, thanks for joining us. Some people here were surprised by this firing. Derek and I are in the camp. We were not. We are only surprised it didn't happen a little bit sooner. How about yourself?
Well, I mean, clearly David Poile was waiting for the cover of the Titans mania to make the deal or the move, right? Like, it's a grand tradition in hockey. The Boston Bruins once fired Claude Julien on the day of the Patriots Super Bowl parade. It's a grand tradition in the NHL to do these things when football is at its apex. No, you know, I'm not totally surprised by it, just by how inconsistent the Predators have been and just by how treading water this entire season has felt. And you know, David Poile obviously feels like he's built himself a playoff roster here. I mean, they spent a lot of money on Matt Duchene. You know, the acquisitions through the years, I think he thinks he has something here that just hasn't coalesced into being a true contender yet. But, you know, in the defense of Peter Laviolette, and I'm not saying that this firing shouldn't have necessarily happened given the results this season, but, I mean, this is a classic trope in the NHL where the goaltending falls apart, it plays below average, special teams fail you, and in the case of the penalty kill, it's like the worst in the league, and then the coach takes the fall for these things, and then the next guy comes in, they start getting some saves, and then all of a sudden he looks like a genius. So this is a time-tested trope in the NHL, and it wouldn't shock me to see if it plays out in Nashville the same way.
Well, we had Robbie Stanley on earlier, and Robbie talked about there being some system issues with this team and teams around the league catching up with the Preds system. I am more of the opinion that it was more of a cultural issue, that this team did not play with enough urgency on a regular basis since acquiring the President's Trophy. I felt like there's been a drop-off in urgency and toughness with this team. What are your thoughts?
I tend to believe your view on it more than the previous one, because I think you could put that on the coach a little bit as far as a lack of urgency, as far as a lack of intensity, as far as
big contracts, a lot of pats on the back for this team.
Yeah, but also, like, from a functional standpoint, and Poile talked about this after the Winter Classic, those lapses that they have in these games this season where, you know, it's a good 8-9 minute stretch that just subverts the entire game for them. And you saw it in the Classic, and you saw it in other cases this year in some of these losses. And that's on the mental side of things. You know, from a system standpoint, the Predators are one of the best 5-on-5 teams in this league. I mean, you know, they're a top three team in puck possession. If you look at the standings right now, I think the only team outside of the playoffs looking in the West with a positive goal differential, and that's with a penalty kill that can't stop anybody. So from a five-on-five perspective, which is really where you make the money in this league, Peter Laviolette did a heck of a job making them a good team. It's just that there are other facets of the team, the penalty kill, goaltending, and then, like you said, maybe this lack of urgency, which you can kind of chalk up to maybe a message now falling on deafer ears after, you know, how many, what has it been now, 5 or 6 years he's been there? You know, that's a long time. It's a long run for a coach, and it's not entirely impossible that the message doesn't resonate anymore.
We're talking Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, talking the firing of Peter Laviolette. Where do the Nashville Predators go from here? That's what everyone's trying to figure out. Now, Greg, this team, obviously, we know, you know, they're a very talented team, but talent alone isn't going to win you games. They got to figure out other ways to win games. Where do you see this organization headed? Because obviously, if they get a new coach, do you see there being also some changes in personnel? I know hockey's a little bit different because the contracts are guaranteed. They're strapped against the cap. Do you see any changes during the offseason?
During the offseason, sure, but I think we have to look in season as well. I mean, the thing that David Poile said, obviously, was in the last week when saying that he wasn't going to, you know, get rid of the coach, which obviously happened, was that he's open for business. And I don't think you can ignore that when you have a general manager who has shown in the past a propensity for making a lot of significant in-season moves, whether or not the team is a contender. And that's the other part of this coin. I mean, if for whatever reason this is just a broken roster and whoever comes in to replace Peter Laviolette can't get them going, or if the goaltending stays average or below average, I don't think David Poile is going to hesitate to make moves in season to try to, you know, rebuild on the fly and get rid of some players that he doesn't think are performing, and be active at the trade deadline in the other way as a seller versus as a buyer. It's something he's mentioned before. I think it may be just kind of a scare tactic he's putting out there to the players that nobody's safe. But at the same time, I think he's somebody who isn't going to be sitting on his hands if things go sideways, either to juice the team and get him going with a trade or to raise the white flag and say, okay, it's time to start retooling in season and not wait until the summer to do it.
Now, Greg, can you compare this team? Because this is a very talented team. I mean, they got players everywhere, and they can score with the best of them, and we know some of their faults. But can you compare this team to maybe past teams the last decade or so that had this much talent but couldn't quite put it together and had to eventually make a change?
I'll compare it to a team that did put it together, actually, which was last year's San Jose Sharks. I mean, I think the Sharks last year were an offensive machine. I don't think Nashville's quite there yet. They need to kind of figure out a couple lines that catch fire and really carry them for a couple weeks. But it was a team that was subverted by bad goal setting. And again, you cannot underestimate when you are in the bottom three in this league and team save percentage, how that just subverts every good thing you can do as a team. And I'm not putting it all on Pekka because, you know, 5-on-5 numbers for Pekka have been pretty good. Soros is another good story. I think he's been terrible this season. But the fact of the matter is that when they've needed a save in certain situations, they haven't gotten it. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, in grand NHL tradition, if you look at the coaches, some of the coaches that have been fired for hockey reasons, let's say this year versus some of the other reasons they've been fired, it's guys whose teams are in the bottom five in team save percentage. So it does come down to defense. And this is, you know, a team issue, not just a goalie issue, but it also comes down to guys that in the past you've been able to depend on to make a save, making a save, and not getting that save this year.
Now, Greg, one of the things we talked about earlier is what the Predators do for their next head coach. This team is built to be in the playoffs, and from that aspect, we don't expect to see an interim coach. We expect them to go out and find the next coach. Wouldn't you agree?
You would expect that, and I give credit to David Poile and the Brain Trust in Nashville because these things tend to leak. And I was fully expecting to wake up and finding out who the next Nashville Predators coach is, but not yet. So kudos there for keeping the mystery going. It's a real, you know, like think of J.J. Abrams was the GM of the hockey team over there. I think they're going to hire somebody to take over the team. The one name that keeps on circulating up is John Hines, the former Devils coach. Obviously a relationship with the assistant GM in Nashville going back to their playing days at Boston University. And then also the endorsement coming from Ray Shiro, who David Poile obviously trusts from their time together in Nashville. Hines has the reputation of being a very good coach that was dealt a pretty bad hand in New Jersey. If you talk to people inside coaching circles, he's got a ton of respect, and they just feel like it was a bad fit there. And, you know, he wouldn't be the first coach in the NHL to go through a few years of bad hockey in one place and then learn a thing or two on how to do things, go back in his second gig and really excel. I mean, look no further than Gerard Gallant, for example, who's now in Vegas. He's the name that keeps on coming up. There's obviously other guys out there. But it'll be interesting to see what they do in the short term, if they hand the team over to Dan Lambert or Dan Moses just on an interim basis until they can, you know, dot the I's on a contract with another coach. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what direction they go, because it does seem like David Poile's not going to be toiling around with somebody on an interim basis, but looking for a longer-term solution when he names his coach.
All right, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.com. Thanks for joining us. Greg, the first in-season firing in Predator history. It only took, like, over 20 years, but we got here. We finally grew up.
I read that this is going to be Poile's sixth coach he's ever hired or something like that.
In, like, 39 amazing. Years? Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's been around since the 1940s, I think.
I'll tell him you said that. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
Take care.
All right, that's Greg Wyshynski. We got Chris Mason from the Preds broadcast, and, of course, former Preds goalie, coming up on the other side as we continue to talk about the firing of Peter Laviolette and what's next for the Nashville Predators. This is the Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 9:15 Tuesday morning. Corey Curtis, Derek Mason. We've been rolling for 3 hours and 15 minutes, and I'm still awake.
There we go. That coffee's working.
I'm hopped up on caffeine, life, and a big day in Nashville sports.
Life in the pursuit of happiness.
Titans on around two of the playoffs, and the Nashville Predators make a coaching change. We are joined now by Chris Mason, former Preds goaltender, current Preds television analyst. Mace, we've known each other a long time. You're far better than I am at everything. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I highly doubt that, but I agree that we're all on the pursuit of happiness. You guys had a good little convo and coffee as well. I'm joining you on the coffee train this morning.
So what do you expect to hear from David Poile today?
Well, I would think that he would say, you know, it was obviously a very tough decision that they'd probably been contemplating for a little while here, and that is probably one of the hardest decisions he's ever had to make because of his admiration and how highly he thinks of Peter Laviolette and what he's done for this organization. But I think they've obviously decided that they needed a change in direction, a new voice in the locker room. You know, something along that lines, I'm sure will be talked about this morning, and they'll announce their plans as well. I don't know what they're going to be, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
What's going on inside that locker room right now?
You know, I think a lot of time, you know, when you have expectations in a team, I think the vibe around the team has changed the last few years, I think. And it's, you know, the expectations build and they build. And I just feel like, I'm not saying they haven't handled it well because they won the President's Trophy the next year after they...
But the results are the results.
The results are the results. And this year is another thing. They made an off-season move where they addressed the need. They got rid of P.K. Subban, which is a huge piece on this team, and they brought in some offense in Matt Duchene, and, you know, at this point in the season, you know, they're on the outside looking in of a playoff spot. So I think that's nowhere near where, you know, this team or anybody expected them to be. So I think that is obviously the reason for the change right now, and they're dealing with a lot of injuries, and it's going to be very interesting, you know, to see how the team responds. And I know as a player, and I don't know if D-Mace, if you ever went through this, but I've went through this mid-season coaching change. The players take a lot of responsibility for that as well, because obviously, you know, you don't change your coach when things are going well. And, you know, this team is underperformed. And at the end of the day, to me, it's a lot of that's on the players. You know, the guys are the ones in the room that ultimately have the game plan and they have to go execute it. And I think you'll be hearing a lot of that from the guys as well.
You're exactly right, C-Mace. You know, a lot of it, because Corey and I talked about it, that once a coach is fired, especially a coach with a track record like Lavi, I think players then got to look within and say, if we had been doing the things that we were supposed to be doing, maybe, just maybe, Lavi would still be here. So I'm pretty sure some of that is going on within that locker room. We're talking with Chris Mason, Press TV analyst, discussing the Laviolette firing, how the Nashville Predators move on from here. Looking at this team, now they've already made the change at head coach. Do you see any change personnel-wise here during the season that David will make before the trade deadline? Because he's not shy about pulling the trigger and making trades.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? That's going to be something. It's a lot trickier to do, and I guess I think a lot of it's going to have to depend on how the team responds here in the next month or so before the deadline. But that's always something that's going to be talked about. And, you know, depending on, you know, if they're sitting, you know, in a playoff spot, I think they, you know, you add something if you feel the need. It's tricky with contracts. You know, if you're talking about making big moves, it becomes a lot more difficult, and you have to find the right partner to trade with. But I'm sure, you know, like you said, Dean Macy's never been shy to pull the trigger or make a move or be bold, you know, if they need to be. So I feel, given the situation, if they're on the outside and they're looking in, I mean, there's some other moves they could make to try to restock the cupboards and kind of make some lateral changes as well. So it'll all depend on how things go here in the next month. But I don't think either side of the coin, you know, you can look for – David's always trying to improve the team. And, you know, whatever happens with the coaching situation, I'm sure that'll be discussed as well. So it'll be – you know, this is a very interesting time. And for a player, too, when you're coming to the rink today, whatever the situation is, you have to make an impression on whoever – is behind that bench. It's a fresh start, so to speak. Systems may or may not remain the same. The power play may or may not be the same. Everything can change, and every guy in that locker room has to prove themselves all over again. So it's going to be a fresh start for everyone, but it's going to be very interesting to see how it all shakes out trade-wise, or that's down the road a little bit. But I'm really interested to see how the guys come out and play tonight.
Well, there's one guy that I know that probably is not shedding a tear right now, and that's Kyle Turris. You know, it seemed to be this disconnect between Turris and the head coach and the GM in regards to how do you play Turris. Do you, when looking at him, do you expect him now to be able to, one, get in the lineup consistently, potentially, and then, two, do you think his play will change?
I think, you know, for a player like Kyle, who's had, you know, a little bit of a tough time this year and got scratched a bunch of times, I think, like, you know, some other guys, maybe it's you have an opportunity to make an impression, mm-hmm. and to show the new leadership, the new coach, that you want to be in there every single night. And I feel like it can be a weight lifted off a player instead of coming to the rink every day wondering if you're going to be in the lineup, or if you know, if you have a bad game and then you wonder if you're going to be in the next game and that type of thing. I think this is a fresh start for him, and I feel like you know, guys in that situation, again, there's opportunity now. You know, you get to decide what kind of impression you're going to make on the new coach. And I think for a guy like Kyle with his track record, I think he's probably just thinking, you know, it's a fresh start and a new opportunity, whether that relationship was stale or not. You know, he wants to play every night. So at the end of the day, it's up to him moving forward. And same goes for any of the players. You know, you're not guaranteed anything. You know, I know contracts dictate a lot of that. You know, track records a little bit, but at this point in the season, you know, your best line is Rocco Grimaldi, Nick Bonino, and Craig Smith. And it's, you know, it's not even really close. So there's a lot of guys in that room that I think really need to step up.
All right, let's eliminate some names from the coaching search here. Chris, have you been asked to be the Predators head coach?
No, I absolutely not.
How about, you know, Terry Crisp has a cup, and he's in the building.
No, they will not let him go. They approached him, but the
Willie Donick? Willie D. Now, come on.
No, I wanted Terry Crisp for those in-game interviews. They would be fantastic.
They would be. They would be. No, you know what? The only guy I don't think that's been mentioned, well, I know Mike Fisher is not going to be the coach.
There we go. Let's eliminate that one,
know,
too.
Like, yeah, that's just, you know, coaching's a completely different thing than playing, by the way, if everyone doesn't know that, just because you're a good player. And I'm not saying Mike Fisher couldn't be a great coach, but you need experience. And the other one I don't think it'll be is Mike Babcock. I know that name's been thrown out there. And this is all just my personal opinion. I have no idea what the situation is, but I think you can cross him right off the list.
Yeah, one of the things that I think makes this in-season change different from a lot is a lot of teams, they get to kind of this point and the season's kind of over. Well, there's half the season left, and we all believe this team has the ability to be a playoff team. So whoever comes in has an opportunity in front of them. And so, you know, having said that, we don't expect it to be an interim head coach. We expect them to hire a new head coach. And when this guy comes in, you know, you've been a part of this before. What's the number one thing he has to establish to get the attention and command the respect of that room?
Well, he has to establish his message, and he has to get buy-in. And I think you've got a group here, and I still truly believe this, and I could name 10 other teams. I still think that the Nashville Predators have an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. I know where they are right now. I believe that they have the guys in the room to do that. The way they're playing right now, the way they've played inconsistently over the first half, I don't think, you know, obviously you look at that and the way that they were playing, they didn't. But I still feel like they have the personnel that can get the job done. And, you know, it's a lot of things are going to have to change. I think defensively, to me, the biggest thing, I think, for the new coach, whoever that may be coming in, is going to have to get that cleaned up in a hurry. But you have to get your message out there, and you have to get 100% buy-in from your top dogs all the way down the lineup to everybody. And to me, the biggest issue, I feel, in the first half was just the inconsistency. You know, defensively. Special teams obviously get better. The power play is coming around. The penalty kill, just like the rest of the season, I think has been very inconsistent. They've had some amazing stretches and some horrendous stretches. You know, you can't have that if you're going to win on a consistent basis. So, you know, defensive play, they're scoring goals. But as anybody knows, you can't win championships without playing strong defensively. So to me, that's the biggest thing, I think, with this team moving forward, that's got to improve.
Any idea who runs the team tonight against Boston?
I have no idea. I am just about to go into our production meeting, and I really have no idea. You know what? We're honestly sometimes the last to know. So that's you know, Will, I'm sure that's the way it goes.
All right. Well, Chris Mason, we appreciate you taking some time out for us today. We will be watching tonight on Fox Sports Tennessee when the Nashville Predators take on the Boston Bruins in the first game of the post-lobby era, and if there isn't some urgency tonight, there's never going to be.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It'll be an interesting one, so tune in.
All right, have a great broadcast. Thanks for your time today, Chris.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, that's Chris Mason. He'll be on the television broadcast tonight with Willie Donick as the Preds take on the Boston Bruins. You can also hear that game right here on 102.5 The Game with, of course, our good friends Hal Gill and Pete Weber. Since time began. Some news in the NFL just coming out recently. Ian Rappaport reporting Matt Rhule from Baylor is the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers. And I thought he would get a job. I thought it would be the Giants, but I knew he was interviewed by both those teams. He did a phenomenal job at Temple, did a phenomenal job at Baylor, and I think that's a pretty good hire for whoever got him.
He did a great job at Baylor, considering
from the ashes.
Yeah, they were just done. It's like Phoenix.
Well, I mean, Temple was never even started,
and
but he got them going.
What he was able to do at Baylor amidst all the stuff that went on, I mean, that program, football program, was just left to just die. He took it and made them a playoff contending team.
Yeah,
you know, so. Kudos to, I think this was a good hire. Now I just got to put some people around him.
And I think that's the challenge for any coach making the move from college to the pros is how does he assemble his staff? Mm-hmm. Who does he know? And what caliber of guys can he bring in there? We will see. 30 minutes left to go in our program. This is Corey Curtis filling in for Braden Gall on this Tuesday morning. Derek Mason here as always. He is the 102.5 The Game Iron Man. This is the Morning Drive. Corey Curtis, Derek Mason, 9:31 on this Tuesday. I was doing the math in my head, 14 segments down, 2 segments to go. You know, it was funny. I had the opportunity to come in yesterday, and Robbie Stanley bailed me out because I said I knew I wasn't going to have any sleep. And and I would have been, as bad as I may have been today, I would have been worse yesterday.
Okay.
So just be grateful that you got me today. David Poile meeting with the media in 2 hours and 15 minutes to discuss the firing of David Poile and what is next. And about the same...
the firing of Lobby.
What did I say?
The firing of David Poile.
Yeah.
See? It's all hitting me. With the Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel will be meeting with the media at 11:30. Ryan Tannehill immediately to follow. And then the locker room opens up as they get ready to face the Baltimore Ravens in round two, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. The Titans are a 10-point underdog. What do you expect to hear out of that Titans locker room? Because they're a confident team. I think they're a prideful team, so they're not going to take a backseat to anyone. But understanding that they're a 10-point dog and how good this Ravens team has won 12 games in a row.
I think the theme is discipline. I think that's what you will hear, especially from the defensive unit. Discipline, discipline, discipline. We got to be disciplined in our fronts. We got to be disciplined setting the edge. We got to be disciplined in tackling. You know, we can't miss tackles. I think that's what Mike Vrabel is preaching.
They've been a good tackling team this year, and they have to have their best tackling game of the season.
So I think that's what you will hear. That's the message that will come out of the locker room from the defensive standpoint. It's to just be disciplined, because if the problem you have with facing a team like this, it's a problem that, you know, college teams have when you're facing like Navy, Team Georgia Tech, teams that run this triple option. You got to stay disciplined. If you don't, they will gas you. And it only takes one guy to not be where he's supposed to be that slips inside when he's supposed to stay outside. So from a defensive standpoint, they're preaching discipline. Offensively, I think what the message is, we need to continue to run the football effectively. We need to set the line of scrimmage. We need to play big boy football. We need to stay physical as a unit. I don't think you'll hear much coming out as far as we need to throw the ball more. I think the efficiency, I think, Ryan Tannehill is going to say, I need to be better with the football. I need to be a little bit more, not be as careless when I'm in a pocket, because he fumbled twice and he threw an interception. But other than that, I don't think you would hear the wide receivers talking, you know, we need to do something in the passing game. No.
They've got no room to talk.
Yeah, they know the way that they're going to win this football game is if Derrick Henry has another day like that. And then they got it, because the weather is going to be a little bit better, I believe.
Yeah, I heard 60s with the possibility of rain.
Exactly. So if it's raining, then, I mean, I don't – maybe advantage Baltimore. But Tennessee, they do have to – if it's not raining, they have to show that they can throw the football. They have to. And I'm not saying they need to throw it 40 times, 30 times. No. They need to be in that, you know, if they can, need to be in that 20 to 23 times throwing a football, and that's it. But they got to show, because Baltimore is going to, especially if they get up a touchdown or two, Tennessee got to prove they can throw the football. And you got two all-pro corners.
You don't want to throw the football when you have to throw the football.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You want to dictate on your terms when you throw the football. That's when the Titans have been at their very best. That's why I think first play out of the gate for the Titans. Number one, if the Titans win the coin flip, they need to take the football.
Yes, I think so, too.
And normally I am a defer guy, and I try to steal that possession at the end of the half and the one in the first half. But against this Ravens team, which has been so dynamic offensively, I do not want to give them the chance to take a 7-0 lead on me. I want my offense on the field, and I want them to go get me some points. So number one, I think if the Titans win the toss, they should take the football. But number two, first play of the game, if I'm the Titans, I'm going play action. they're going to have to throw. And I'm not saying Derrick Henry can't run in this game, because he will.
Yeah.
But they're going to need to score more than 14 points.
And, oh, they're going to have to.
And they're going to have to make some plays in the passing game. And I think they need to establish right out of the gate that we are not throwing for 72 yards again this week. We know your DBs are really good, but we are not going to be afraid. We are not going to try to hide our quarterback. We are not going to try to hide our passing game behind our running game. Mm-hmm. We are going to come at you. It's going to come from both ways, and we're going to do it on the very first play of the game.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to set the tone. And the Titans have done this before, where the first play has been a play action.
They ran a bootleg with Ryan Tannehill's very first play, which I never understood why they never did that with Marcus Mariota, but that's beyond me.
Yeah. But I think you might see that rather than, play action pass. I think you might see a bootleg.
Flea flicker, first play.
To try to get the ball, move the ball down the field, a big chunk. I think if they can establish the ability to get big chunks, because the Titans are not going to throw the ball and move it methodically down the field. They're not doing that.
Well, that's not Ryan Tannehill.
Exactly.
Ryan Tannehill's a go-down-the-field guy.
If they can get a big chunk first play of the game in a passing game, I think that serves them well. I don't know.
I'm going to line Marcus Mariota up at wide receiver the first play of the game and just give him something to think about.
Don't be surprised if Marcus is in the first play of the game. I wouldn't be surprised if Marcus is in the first play of the game.
I would be shocked if Marcus was in the first play
of
the
game. I wouldn't be
surprised.
But you
know what? That's a total mind job, so I'm with you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And I guarantee you Baltimore's preparing for that.
Yeah.
That Marcus could potentially be in first play of the game to throw a wrinkle in. But regardless of all of that, I think Derrick Henry is and this is where it gets tricky, because he's ran the ball 64 times
in
2 weeks.
He's going to wear down at some point.
Yes. Is this because he's been getting tagged. He's been getting hit.
He's run the ball almost 350 times now this year. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
Yeah, so, does that catch up with Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
The pounding, the consistent pounding.
Well, that's where that week off against the Saints,
You
hope that's got him where he needs to go.
Yeah,
but we'll see. I want to get back to the Mariota thing, because I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Because I think we both believe that there's a scenario, not where Mariota replaces Tannehill.
No. Mm-hmm.
But, look, he's played in the last 2 weeks, and we both expect him to get in this game as well.
Yeah.
But I think there's a scenario where he gets in and he stays in for like 3, 4, 5 consecutive plays, just running like read option and wrinkles off of read option.
Yeah, I can see that, because that's what, if you look back at Baltimore and how they became the team they are this year, they used Lamar Jackson in that situation where they left him in for, 2, 3 plays, 4 plays last year and did some things based upon that. I can see the Tennessee Titans, they have this package for Marcus. No doubt. There's a package of probably 15, 20 plays for just Marcus alone.
Well, earlier in the show, I talked about this. Before the game in New England, he was the first one out on the field to warm up, and he was working his tail off out there. I mean, he was working hard, running a lot of motion stuff in the backfield.
No, you're absolutely right. And you said it. They want to keep Marcus engaged just in case something happens and he has to go in the game. But they got a package
still win
for
the game.
Yeah, they have a package for Marcus. And maybe they don't get to all the plays. Maybe they just get to 4 or 5 of them. But I think they're going to use him a little bit more than they have. Maybe 3 plays, maybe 4 plays, maybe 5 plays. I look at it from this standpoint in regards to Marcus, too. The worst thing that can happen for the Baltimore Ravens, because I've seen this with quarterbacks, you prepare for one quarterback, something happens, and all of a sudden, a guy comes in, and you're not prepared for a whole game. We saw that with Jacksonville the year that Blaine Gabbert was starting, I believe, and Marcus he had to come in, and they were not prepared for Marcus, and they end up Tennessee ended up winning that game
with his legs.
Exactly, that would be worst case scenario for Baltimore, because they're not planning for Marcus to play nothing but maybe 5 plays. And if something happens to Ryan Tannehill and there's still a quarter or two left, Titan fans, that's not the worst thing that could possibly happen. Now, I want Tannehill to be the guy underneath center for the whole game. But if he goes out for any reason, it's not bad that Marcus didn't come in because they're not preparing for Marcus for a whole game.
And Marcus isn't Blaine Gabbert.
Exactly.
I mean, Marcus is a quarterback.
He can win you games.
He's won a playoff game. Yeah. He's gotten you to the playoffs. He's gotten you winning seasons. So it's not a nightmare. And again, this is not us advocating. This is us. This is us talking about what we're seeing.
Exactly.
And where things could be headed. We're not sure. Now, defensively, I don't expect Dean Pease to blitz. Like, hardly at all. Because I always felt like when Tim Tebow had his cup of coffee in the NFL, I always thought defensive coordinators did him a favor when they blitzed him. Because that allowed him to scramble and get outside the pocket, and he couldn't read a defense to save his life. But what he could do is run around and make a throw here and there. And look, Lamar Jackson's way better than that.
Absolutely.
But if you blitz him and chase him from the pocket, it's advantage Lamar Jackson. You want him in the pocket as much as possible. And that's not to say he can't play there, but it's to say that he doesn't have you at his mercy there.
Lamar is best when he can either run or pass.
You can't catch him.
You having him in the pocket, I believe he's only going to get better from the pocket. That's just my belief.
Oh no, I think he has the work ethic. Yeah. He's already made a monumental step forward.
Exactly,
from the pocket.
He has the work ethic. I've gotten a chance to talk to John, last year, and he said this kid is special. He's special. I've even talked to him a little bit this year. He said this kid's special. He works hard and he wants it. It's nothing with him. It's just the team. He wants to get better at all cost. So keeping him in the pocket because he's still learning how to throw from the pocket will serve the Tennessee Titans well. If they blitz him and they don't get him and they break contain, if he breaks contain, you're at his mercy. You're done. There's nothing you can do. You just hope that he doesn't make a big play. You know, he doesn't scamper for 50 yards. You hope he just scamper for 10. Or he doesn't find a tight end or Marquise Brown running down the sideline. Because once he gets out of that pocket, you're at his mercy. So the best thing the Titans can do is keep him inside the pocket.
Yeah.
So
that's, you know.
And that's hard to do.
If you can keep him from running. He did rush for 1,200 yards this year.
Yeah.
I think he's like sixth in the NFL rushing.
He's rushed for 1,200, threw for 3,000, 38 touchdowns or 36 touchdowns.
36 touchdowns, which I think led the league.
Yeah, passing. So this perception of Lamar Jackson being just a runner.
Not just a runner.
Anymore. Listen, and he's becoming a better passer.
Well, last year he was brutal. And when he threw like to the boundary last year, I think his number was like 17%.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
And so I was like, coming into this season, I expected him to be a little bit better. But look, there's no way you could have seen the colossal leap forward.
A lot of people blame that on Marty Morningwig. A lot of people blame what happened last year on Marty Morningwig. He did not cater the system to Lamar Jackson. He tried to make Lamar Jackson fit into a system he wasn't accustomed to. And then Greg Roman comes in and say, you know what? We're scrapping all of that. How do we make you better? How do we make a game plan, a system surrounding you? Because you are a quarterback. You are a franchise quarterback.
And you're different.
Exactly.
And now the big key, though, is can he stay healthy? And that's the big key. And I never thought I'd see a quarterback rush for 1,200 yards and stay healthy. He has done it. I always say you don't reinvent the NFL. Ravens have kind of reinvented the NFL this year. Now we'll see. Everybody adjusts, and we'll see how long it takes them to adjust. And if they can adjust, I think that remains to be seen. 9:45, we got one segment to go. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason. This is the Morning Drive on ESPN's 102.5 The Game.
Corey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to end this show by doing something special.
You're giving your car away?
Not quite. Oh. I think fans will like this even better.
Already got dibs on the range anyway.
Hey, I'm giving away Bruins and Preds tickets.
Oh, to see the... I don't know who the Preds' new head coach is.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
To see whoever...
Lead the Preds on the ice.
Yep. Yes. You can win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Boston Bruins at Bridgestone Arena tonight. Be caller number 4. Hall of four.
I was going to say three.
Three.
For the third head coach in Preds history.
Yeah, I started to say four.
So we'll say four. No, yeah, we'll say four. You said four, so we'll stick with four.
All right. You be the fourth caller, and you can see Preds' new head coach tonight as they face the Boston Bruins.
Or maybe an interim.
Yeah, or interim.
So we'll see.
One of the guys.
If that person doesn't have someone to go with them, can they call you?
I guess they can.
Because I would say you could call me, but I have to work tonight.
Yeah. So I will go. I guess I will be working, sort of, kind of. I got to cook dinner for my son and clean up a little bit and let the dogs out. And
so you let the dogs out?
Woof. Yes, I do let the dogs. I have two boxers, man.
This is what happens when you get 40-year-old men together. It's just bad. It's just bad.
Yes, I got two boxers, man.
Two boxers.
Yeah, two girl boxers. They're wonderful.
What are their names?
Ginger and Lexi. Lexi is the youngest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eddie's got a boxer, or he did. He's a bulldog.
Bulldogs, yeah.
Those things are a mess, man.
Yes, they are.
Every time he opens the door, they're just a mess.
Slobber everywhere. I sweep the floor just about every day because of those dogs.
You don't have a Roomba?
With the hair. I do have a Roomba, but, you know, I run it sometimes, but I like to sweep. It's therapeutic for me, so I like to sweep.
Shoot, man, come on over. I got a whole house you can sweep.
A friend of mine told me, she said a while back, because a really good friend of mine, she said, you would probably make the best wife. Because I love to cook.
Yeah.
I love to clean. I love to do all these things that sometimes, you know, wives
do.
Are
you a firstborn child?
Whatnot. No, I'm not.
Wow.
I'm not. I'm the middle child, man.
Okay.
I am the middle child.
All right, so we got Preds tonight against the Bruins at 7 o'clock. You can hear it right here on 102.5 The Game with Pete Weber and Hale Gill. Right now, they're a team in limbo.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out if they're still in limbo at 11:45. I don't know for a fact, but I'm going to guess that Darren, Willie, and Chase will have that presser live at 11:45. Marquise, do we know, are they planning on carrying that? Yes, we just got the thumbs up.
Yes.
They will have that presser live here on 102.5 The Game at 11:45. So that will be interesting to hear exactly what David Poile has to say about the future of his hockey club. We've all agreed that this is not a decision that David Poile takes lightly. He is not a guy who just fires people.
No.
This had to have been a difficult decision for him. And I'll say it was a difficult decision for him from the aspect of, he could have made this decision several weeks ago, frankly. And really, there's an argument to be made, what took so long? Because this team's been underachieving for a while.
No, you're absolutely right. This is a situation where this team underachieved last year. Frankly, they've underachieved the past two seasons, or going into the third season. They've underachieved every time since.
The Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. And I know they won the President's Trophy. I get it. But
they went out in round two.
Absolutely. And then
they lost on home ice.
Exactly. Then they lost it again early. And now look at the situation they're in now. So since the Stanley Cup run, they've underachieved as a team.
All right. I have a very interesting, what I think, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the better chances are of these two things?
Mm-hmm.
The Titans beat the Ravens and advance to the AFC Championship, or the Preds right the ship and make the postseason?
I think the Tennessee beating Baltimore.
You think the Titans have they're a 10-point dog, and you think they have a better chance of winning in Baltimore than you do of the Preds working their way from 11th to 8th with a coaching change?
Yep.
Because wow, that's a condemning statement.
Yeah, I just don't think. I mean, you would expect this team to all of a sudden change who they are for the rest of the season. I can see them having a spark for maybe a game or two, but I think it then settles right back in. Especially if they hire someone as to be the interim from within,
which we don't expect.
Yeah, which we don't expect, but it could happen. I think they then, they'll come out, hair on fire, and then eventually they'll settle back down, and they will just miss the playoffs.
Now, the Titans are a 10-point dog, as I said. You expect it to be you like Baltimore.
I like Baltimore.
Because they're very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's no slight on the Titans. But
exactly.
You expect it to be closer than 10.
I'm hoping it's closer than 10.
Okay, not what you're hoping. What do you expect?
I don't think it's closer than 10.
So
I think it's 10 a plus.
Okay, I won't ask you. It's Tuesday. I won't ask you for a prediction. I think this game is in the 31-24, 31-27 realm, and I also like Baltimore at this point. But we'll see. They haven't played a meaningful game in 3 weeks, and I think that is in the Titans' favor. They've been playing meaningful football for a while.
Mm-hmm.
D-Mace, it's been awesome.
Absolutely.
I cherish my time with you each and every time I get to get in here with no sleep.
Well, thank you, good man.
All right, everybody. This has been ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm, and I love you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.